Flavor Fest family, what's going on? What's good? Yo, today we're taking you to the place that hip-hop started, New York City. And we're going to be talking to somebody that is a pioneer in the CHA space in that city, and he's still active. And at the same time, he's also been a pioneer in church revitalization and doing church in a brand new way in New York. And God's been using him in some amazing ways. And so get ready, y'all. I got my guy on here, Richie Righteous, Pastor Rich. Let's go.
Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna.
We back, y'all. This is episode 8 of season 4, Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Grateful you guys are jumping in either live or on the replay. We're here live every Friday on YouTube, and then we pop it up on all the streaming platforms for podcasts. And so listen, let me just say this before we bring our guest in. Flavor Fest is going on tour this year, if you have not heard. We're not just doing Tampa, Florida. That's where we're based out of Crossover Church. People come here from literally all over the world the last two decades. And people have been asking us for a long time, like, yo, you got to bring Flavor Fest to our city. You got to bring Flavor Fest to this coast, this area, this region. And we was always like, that's a lot of work. We're barely, like, doing our conference here. It's a lot to put together. But our team is strong, and our church is in a season where we're really thriving and growing. And we know a lot of church leaders need encouragement, a lot of artists, a lot of urban entrepreneurs, they need encouragement. It's been a challenging couple of years. And so this year we decided to take the leap of faith and not go to one city, but go to four other cities besides the fifth here in Tampa. And so we're going to be in New York City, April 22nd, mark your calendars, one day Flavor Fest Summit, workshops, general sessions, concert in the evening. We're going to be in Los Angeles May 5th and 6th. We're going to be in the ATL June the 10th. And we're going to be in Houston, Texas on July 15th. And then we'll be back here at the home base for the full conference the first weekend of November. We moved it back a little bit away from hurricane season. And so flavorfest.org has all the details, has all the information, y'all, that you guys can go and get. Registered artists can submit for artist submissions. They are open until March 15th if you're watching that before this. And so, yo, tap in. And so the first place we're doing Flavor Fest this year is New York City. And so that's why we got my guy on here before. He's no stranger to Flavor Fest, to Crossover Church. He's been down here many times. I've been up there with him as well. So we got my guy, Richie Righteous. I'm going to bring him in. What's up,
what's
Rich?
What's good?
How you
it's
feeling,
a good
man?
Morning. It's a good. What is it? Morning. It's 12 o'clock now here in New York City. You know what I'm saying? It's a good day. What's going on, Pastor Tommy? You know what I'm saying? We here. We in the building.
What's up, man? It's good to see you, bro. It's good to see you a couple times in the last month.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not under the circumstances.
Yeah.
But yeah. Definitely good to see you. Definitely good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a crazy season of a lot of death, honestly.
Yeah.
I had a mentor of mine pass in New York City. He worked in Far Rockaway, Queens. Got to see Rich and connect with him the day after that. And then we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but our brother E, Pastor E from the Bronx, from Elements Church, passed away unexpectedly, suddenly. And so I got to go up there to his celebration of life, saw you there, so many other, like, New York City generals and legends. And and it was like a big family reunion. Under circumstances, it was heavy, very emotional, but very celebratory because E, you know, touched so many of us, man. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. What Rap Fest? It was like Rap Fest.
It was, man.
It was like Rap Fest, you know what I'm saying? Because it was like everybody.
Burt was the MC. It was dope.
Yeah, it definitely was, man. It definitely was. Yeah, but it was good to see you.
Good to see you too, bro. We're glad you're on today, man. And really, like, we titled today's webinar, right? Podcast. It's going to be like a webinar. Watch. Rich is going to drop some jewels. Like a New York City pioneer. And, bro, you're a pioneer. You're getting to that level now. You're getting to OG status. You've been doing this for a couple of decades. And before we get into the music stuff, which a lot of people know you for, we're definitely going to chop about that. But to talk about the church side, and some people may not fully even know that yet. They might still just know you for your music. But I think more and more people are discovering you're Pastor Rich now. And they're seeing you the last couple years on YouTube and IG, like preaching, dropping sermons. And so, a little bit about the whole journey of taking over your family's church and revitalizing the church and doing church in such a different way for New York City.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I've been doing music for so many years and most people know me for that. But my upbringing was in church. My father was the pastor. Most people who know my testimony know that he passed away in 97. As I toured, I traveled, I did what I had to do with music. One thing led to another, and I just couldn't sit by and not be a help to what my father planted.
Yeah.
And so I jumped on board. My mother at the time, she was holding down the church as best as she could. I started just, you know, helping out a little bit, and helping just became full-fledged, you know, taking over to where it was handed over to me and my wife. And so over the last, I would say it's about 10 years now we've been pioneering in that space. Our first journey was changing the culture to what we would want it to be, because we were old school, you know what I'm saying, in many ways. And I, being a Christian rapper, of course, when I started, there was that struggle of how much of hip hop do you bring into, how much of you bring in. But then I realized I lived in New York. You know what I mean? And the people that walked in the building, like, here's the thing about New York, right? Like we don't, you said it in the beginning, right? Like, New York is where hip hop came from. So a lot of what we do, you know, some places try to do hip hop. A lot of what we do become hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I
mean, it's having its 50 year birthday this year.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's been around a while. It's not just the music and culture of the youth. I mean, you got a lot of middle-aged people that grew up on it, and it's still who they are.
Exactly, and it's dominated so much over the last couple of years. But once I started being who I was, bringing me to the table, authenticity, we started to see the growth of the church. And I, you know, my mind is blown, because at currently, coming back from this pandemic, our church has been packed out again. We are in the process, as you would know, of looking for a new building. And every day we keep getting better news and closer to that goal, to the point now where Pastor Tommy, we saw a movie theater a couple of weeks ago that we went to look at.
Okay.
And when we looked at it, we were wondering how we were going to get it. We walked into a blessing of meeting someone to where we now are wondering if we should take that building and starting to look for another one now. So God has been working, you know, tremendously. I kind of got out the way, and it would take time to explain what that means, you know, because at first I was so hands-on with everything. I had to learn so much. I had to learn how to be a leader, how to delegate, how to trust people, how to raise up people to do what I can't, how to, so many things. And I kind of got out the way now, and just, I'm in a zone now where I'm trusting God, and God is sending me the people. It's working, it's growing. And so we just excited about what's happening at the church, you know?
Man, congrats, bro. I know even that's new development since the last time we talked.
Yeah.
I know you've been looking at possibly on another campus and somewhere in Long Island, you know, as we got a lot of families from that area, and still keeping the Jamaica one, and just, you know.
Yes, man, sir.
That's exciting, bro. That's exciting, because I know you're limited at your spot, you know.
Yeah, I am. We got one big sanctuary with no rooms to really do anything. So when we're meeting on Sunday, the sanctuary's packed. And whenever the sanctuary is packed, that means the kids' room are overcrowded.
Yes.
And so, you know, for the sake of the children and the other things that we would like to do, we need more facilities. So, you know, we just been believing God, and he's sending folks. Folks are starting to come. They're starting to sow into what we do. Their lives are being transformed by it. People inside New York, people outside, wherever they are, they just find us. And they're like, man, I love what you guys are doing. So, yeah, it's growing, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, bro. We would have loved to do Flavor Fest New York City with you. That was like my first choice. And you guys do have a dope setup in your auditorium. And even though it's not that large, you guys do it in excellence. I mean, with the screens, the cameras, the lighting. And I appreciate that about you, man. You've always done things in excellence. And that's why I think we vibe a lot together.
Right.
Because even when we were in our smaller facility, we tried to do everything as excellent as we could. And when you do that, excellence attracts excellence. And you're going to get other people that notice that and want to sow into the vision. And that was some of the reason that helped us to get to the facility where we're at now. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm praying for you, bro. Because you always have to be thinking and operating like you're at least two or three times the size that you actually are. Mm-hmm. And even now at our level, there's a family that was in upstate New York that was watching our services during the pandemic, getting ready to move to Tampa. And they moved here in the fall of 2020. And when they were watching online, they assumed that we were a church of like 5,000, you know. And when they actually came and saw, like, you know, everything that we were doing and the level of excellence, and, you know, they were just like, oh, my gosh, wow, I thought you guys were like five times bigger than what you really are. Right. And so, bravo, man. Shout out to you. Kudos to you, bro. And so let's go back to earlier in the story when you took over around roughly 10 years ago and you said you had to like begin to like shift the culture and bring your own authentic voice into it. I know that feeling. I did that about 20 years ago when I stepped into the role at Crossover. What were some of the biggest challenges? I know there's probably some church planters, some ministry leaders that are there, some pastors that are watching this that are trying to transition their church to have a new culture, something that's more relevant, more up-to-date, more modern. And what were some of the, like, maybe the hurdles you had to kind of jump over and some of the biggest things you learned?
Yeah, well, number one, the tradition is something that everybody's going to have to, you know, if you're taking over a church, traditions and somebody messed my camera up here, man.
He's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Traditions and just mindsets that have been in place for so long is probably the number one thing that you're going to have to deal with. Now, what I had to learn is that you do not come in like this raging bull. I'm just going to change everything.
Yeah, that's good.
You want to first, what I learned to do was gain the respect and the trust of the people. And that doesn't come without spending time with people. So I had to spend time with some of the old schoolers. I had to let them understand me, understand my ministry, take them out to lunch. Sometimes I might not have been the most influential guy in the room. It might have been somebody else. So what I did was I didn't worry about, well, I'm going to out-influence him. I just influenced the influencer. And once I got him on board, he was able to grab whoever was following him. And somebody said this, right? If you walk into a place and there's pillars set up, don't start moving them unless you find out why first. Yeah. And so I've got to admit that some of the traditions and some of the thinkings caused me to grow too. Where I, you know, even older now, I see there's certain things that you never really want to change about doing God's work. But then, you know, just the way that we operate and the way that culturally we did things, we begun to shift that. And so people just begun to develop this trust in me that whatever it was that I wanted to do, they were like, we don't get it. But we trust you. And then afterwards, here's the thing. People cannot argue with results.
Yep, they can't argue with the fruit.
They can't. And so once people were getting saved, once we started, I remember this, Pastor Tommy, you know our facility. We don't even have a baptismal, you know, most churches have a dedicated space, you know, and it's New York. It's cold. So you can't go outdoors like you guys can do in Tampa at any given
only
time.
For a couple months you can. That's it.
Exactly. We've got it. So I remember, though, at the beginning, so many people were coming to the Lord. And people were seeing the fruit that we said, hey, we need to buy a baptismal pool set up and put in a space over there that can be set up and broken down indoors with heaters and water heaters because it's cold. And one lady stood up right away and she said, I'll give every dollar that you need towards that system. And she just bought the whole thing. And this was an older lady who knew, you know, but she just saw the fruit.
Yeah.
And it's been that, you know, so that tradition was one of my hurdles. And then learning to build a team around you and learning how to trust people. And I mean, there's so many things, right? But I think that for me in the beginning to just having people and having an expectation on them was bad for me. Because I expected them to do, well, you're a leader, you should do this, and they weren't doing. And I had to understand that not everybody's passion is to the level that I'm at.
Yeah.
Not only that, those who might want to help might not know, and what came naturally to me might not be natural to others.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to spend time raising and teaching leaders and being patient. Not being the angry pastor who walks into the building and is angry with everybody all the time. I had to learn how to be not the guy that is, not, as much as I correct, I don't give compliments either.
Yeah.
You know, that is always a struggle for many pastors because we've seen this over the years that pastors have even had to step down because, not because they failed in their marriage or failed, you know, morally, but they were just toxic. They were angry and they treated people bad. So all of those things I had to avoid and still continue to struggle and build. And I see you already want to jump in there. I can see you leaning forward. But though, you know, learning how to create the environment so that those that are on board to push the vision forward want to be there. Want to, you know, and then just changing a lot of thinking of how we did church in the past, you know. The way we did church in the past, you would have a great preacher or a great speaker or somebody who's gifted, and he would have to sit there for 60 years before he can be released to do something.
Yes.
And I started saying, Lord, I don't want to be the guy that's 80 years old still pastoring and got a young guy there that's 70 that's a youth pastor. You know what I'm saying? So just a lot of these younger guys that are hungry and the kingdom needs them, learn how to mentor them. Last night I was spending time with one of the leaders in my church and he was telling me, he said, man, I came into this church 9 years ago and 9 years ago I was in my 30s, right? And he was saying, just seeing you and your wife kept so many marriages in this church together. And just the way you tried to operate. And, you know, I was in.
He keeps getting phone calls.
Keep messing me up. They keep messing me up. But I was in my younger age then, not knowing everything, not knowing. And so the point I'm trying to make to that is, I've got other people that are in their 30s and 20s, and I don't want to wait till they're much older to train them on how that they can begin to effectively do the Lord's work now. And so if you walk in Church City, you'll see a range of ages. You'll see children. You'll see those that are newlywed. You'll see those that have been married for 10, 20 years. And then you're going to see the elderly. And they all come and they love it because we're trying to be authentic. We're trying to love people. Me and my wife, we tell people when they come, when they join the church, we say, the people that you see here, guarantee at some point we will fail you.
Yeah.
We're not going to live up to all the expectations that you had when you first walked in and you were blown away by what you saw. At some point, we're going to disappoint you. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Forgive us. Let's have conversation and let's build and move forward. And we've been able to just, you know, authentically build people that love the Lord in the city. And the people in our church are impacting this city. So it's not just at the church. The people, when they leave, we've got rappers that are prominent in the city. We've got people who are promoters. We've got people who are movie makers. We've got people who are working in media, people who are working in the school system. We've got police officers, and they all go back to the workforce, the city, the mindset of we are. And that's why we've got the name church. Most churches got city church. We're church city. And that is on purpose, because we don't want the city to dominate the church. We want the church to dominate the city. Ooh. And so that's the mindset that we preach. And man, it is just awesome to see what the Lord is doing. The other barrier I had as a Christian hip hop artist, and I'm just trying to think of all of the ones, is that being in Christian hip hop in the days we grew up, the theological divide was such a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
So I would have charismatic super Pentecostals.
Yep.
I would have my 5-point Calvinists. I would have my, you know, and I would have my people who are just brand new. Listen, I don't care about no theology. I just want to go out and preach Jesus.
Yeah.
If you want. So I've had the deliverance people who are prophetic. I want prophetic. And we still get those. We still get all of that happening. As a pastor, what I have done was I invite all of the folks to the conversation, and to the best of my ability, I try to biblically get everybody to where we can be on a balanced scale to say, listen, this is a church that even though all of the minute details we might not be able to always agree on, here are what the essentials are. And I think people appreciate that. I think creating that environment for where they can have healthy discussion rather than fighting each other over believers who love the Lord hate each other because they think they got God on lock. And what I see for a lot of the younger Christians that come in with the, you know, heavy theological, and it's so funny because now that all of the Christian rappers who used to have that younger, now that we're grown, we're all great friends.
Yeah.
When at one point we used to be like, I ain't rocking with that camp. Nah, they don't. Now we're all
broken down.
It's called, number one, it's called maturity.
Yeah.
And I think the older you get, life has a way, or God has a way through life to teach you that you don't have the lockdown on who I am and how I work. And so you start to just come off a little bit on some of the hard stance that you used to. And it's not so much that somebody convinced you. It's just life. Life just hits you. Yeah. And you like, you know what, Lord, I don't really have an answer to. I can try to articulate it, but I just see what I see here. And to the best of my ability, I'll preach this, knowing that, you know, I trust you, and keeping the essentials the essentials. So that's another thing that people who are in our ministry would face. You would have so many conglomerate of thoughts coming in and wanting you to bend to the way they teach, you know, and you're like, but it's not just you in here, brother. There's a million other people with different perspectives, you know, and you've got to kind of figure that out. So, yeah.
Man, that's why you're my guy, bro, because we've been through so many similar things together. And, yeah, even just to see where the Christian hip-hop world and urban ministry world is at, praise God, it's gotten a lot more balanced and mature.
Oh, it's beautiful now, man. At least for the elder statesmen of the culture, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You know, we see each other at different events, different times. We're even inviting each other now to preach. where we never invited each other to concerts or to do records. Now it's like, man, I want you to come preach at my church. You know what I mean? So it's a beautiful thing.
That's dope. Yeah, man. Well, if you are listening and you missed some of that part, like, you probably need to go back and rewind a little bit. Rich, you just dropped so many great leadership principles of what you did in helping transition your church and revitalize it, man. You were talking about you got with leaders that were the influencers in the room when you first took over. Just because you have the title, that doesn't mean you have the most influence in the room. I mean, the old back in the day, they might have operated like that. But the younger generations, especially, but even the older generations, if they got a young buck coming in, like, you might be the pastor, but I've been here since you were diapers, you know. And so, yeah, man, that's wisdom, bro, and delegation, all those things that you shared, some really, really great stuff. And that's why your church has grown, and that's why you guys made it through the pandemic, even in all the crazy mandates and lockdowns that New York City had that impacted so many other churches there. And many churches have never reopened and didn't make it, you know, but you pivoted and you adopted new ways and innovated. And, you know, we were watching you. We did some stuff together online and stuff. And, but man, that's why you guys are healthy and growing and thriving even in this season when so many people are still just trying to rebuild and trying to figure out what's really next. So yeah, man, that's good, man.
You know, and I want to say something right there.
Yeah.
For guys like yourself and me, the pandemic, it was crazy, but we're creatives.
Yeah.
So our mind went into overtime on some, okay, we're going to TV now. So it was almost like, for guys like you, be like, this is the coolest.
It's going to draw people in.
For us, it was like, this is the greatest thing in the world. We're going to go straight television. We're going to make funny skits. We're gonna do serious skits. We're going to tape. We're going to do everything. And so we were taping. We were being innovative. Now, what I've learned is that that's not natural to a lot of pastors.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, they didn't come from a creative world into pastoring. They came from seminary to pastoring, you know? So the pastors that are watching, even though the pandemic is over, we are still in a time where you have to think about even opening a creatives department in your church and find them.
Yeah.
Find the guys who are good on the social medias. Find the guys who are great at editing. Find the guys that are able to make your church look a certain way. And let me tell you, it is not hard. And there's teenagers in your church who can rock an iPhone and make your church go from no presence in the virtual world to becoming something amazing online where people watch you. And so I want to say to the pastors out there, you don't have to be the creative. Find them though.
Yep.
Just like you would find other things in the ministry, create some type of department that you can foster to find these people and begin to, and you'll find a couple of guys who are just great at cameras, great at capturing your audio, great at even making you turning your every sermon into a podcast. You know, I got guys, you obviously do too, Pastor. I mean, every Sunday our sermons go up on podcasts, and you know, we watch that thing go from 4,000 listeners to 5,000 listeners to 10,000. And you got a whole nother audience listening and following you. And when people come to New York City, like, they walk into the church, where'd you find us? And they find us in the strangest of social places.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, we didn't even know our stuff got there, but bless the Lord. So I'm basically saying to all of the pastors that are out there, I understand it's difficult. I understand some of you don't even like the feel of going in front of a camera. You know, for some pastors, it's like, do I really put a camera to my face and click? And they don't even want to do that. In their mind, their theology is messing them up too. They're like, this is not even godly. It's not about me. I understand that feeling, but that's not the world we live in anymore.
That's good.
And we have to, the marketplace is now the internet.
Yes.
It is not the place you go to find the meaning of life. It is not the place where you will enjoy life. Life is still to be experienced in the real world. Mm-hmm. But all of the messaging and influencing is happening in that market space. So figure out the people that are in, and they're there. Find them, empower them, and, you know, grow your ministry in that department too as well.
Yeah, that's good, bro. Because just like you got a worship team, you're the pastor, you might not be the singer. You got to look at it in the same way. Like, this is a department that can open up doors to reach so many new people. And at Crossover, you know, we've been trying to empower, and it empowers people to have those gifts as well, to have a platform to use them for ministry and use them in their local church. And because of what we've done online, we've had people that have moved from other cities to come to Tampa to be part of our church. And of course, the weather didn't hurt either, but, you know, they literally like had jobs that they could now work from wherever. You know, a lot of that happened the last couple of years, and they're like, well, let's go move to Florida to be with the church that we want to be with, you know? But then you've had other people that just literally quit their jobs and look for new jobs here just because they felt like they were called to be part of our church. And so, and all that happened because of what was online and what was on the screens. And so it's a powerful ministry tool. Don't miss out on it. And there's multiple things, because you got the Instagram, you got Facebook, you got YouTube, you know, you got shorts and reels and podcasts, and, you know, there's a lot of different things, but you want to maximize all those platforms, because the reality is they're free. It's not, not necessarily free to get all the content together to put on there, but the platform itself is a free platform that everybody's there. You know, Jesus said we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So we can still be in the world and in those spaces, and then drawing them into our ecosystem and giving them something even deeper. So cool, man. Well, I'm proud of you, bro. Well, let's shift gears, man. We're more than halfway through. So let's shift gears from the pastoring, pioneer pastor in New York City, to pioneer artist in New York City. And so, like, take us all the way back, man. When did your first record come out? When did you really first start going out and doing shows in the area as a PK, which I'm a PK too, bro, so.
Man, I was, to be honest with you, Pastor Tommy, my first time on stage rapping, I was 12, 13 years old.
Yep, so way and back in the
90s. I'm in my 40s now.
Way back in the 90s, bro.
Oh yeah, this is, we talking 90s, you know? And so for me, it was a journey. So 12, 13, 14, I started rapping old school Pentecostal church, father, first time rapping in the church. People came up to him and say, what kind of devil music are you allowing your son to do in the church? So my father had to navigate
those. Let me
tell
you this funny pastor's kid story. So the first time my dad let me rap at church, 1987. That was like super early, like in the church world, right? And so he was kind of nervous about it. He said, I'm going to let you rap on a Sunday night. And so I'm like, all right, me and some of my friends in the church had a rap group. My one friend was playing drums. Me and the other guy were emceeing. And so anyways, he got cold feet at the end. And he was like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and dismiss service right now. My son and some of his friends are going to do a rap song. It's his new style of music. If you want to stick around and watch it, you can, but church is going to be dismissed right now. God bless you guys. And everybody, nobody got up at all, right? He was trying to cover his tracks and be like, well, we already dismissed service. It was like the after party. It was the after
service.
And so you remember Sunday night services, bro.
Absolutely.
It was all mostly the old people that went to Sunday night service. It was not the younger crowd, you know what I mean? And so, but there was a good crowd there that night of mostly older people, and they all sat and watched. We got to see this. What is the pastor's son going to do? And, they were pretty graceful, man. It wasn't a too bad of a response. But yeah, man, I remember those days when our dads took a chance on us.
And now that I'm recalling, my first time was a Sunday evening service, too. So it was probably just the old school mentality.
They weren't going to give us the prime time. Sunday morning was prime time.
No, not at all.
Everybody was there,
not
bro.
At all.
It went south, like, you know, Sunday night. Yeah. Night
for me, it was the same exact thing, man. Sunday evening, and one lady out of the whole church, man, she complained. One lady.
Yeah.
Everybody else was cool. You know, yeah. They didn't care. But this one lady. Yeah, and my father, he never knew how to really navigate it. So I found myself, like most Christian artists in the beginning, you think you're the only rapper that is doing it.
Yeah.
And then you are trying to find places to rap. So yeah. It ended up being a lot of, for New York, it ended up being just pockets of places that you could go. One of them in particular was in Coney Island with a pastor by the name of Omar Morton. He used to host this thing in the projects in Coney Island. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first time walking in there, man, just walking into the building. And I had brought a secular artist who had gotten saved. We had heard about this spot. It was this young lady. She came. We came in. And as we were walking in from the top of the project, somebody threw a bottle down at us. And it was like, you know, a couple inches, yeah. And it could have been disaster. So we were like, yo, this is nuts, what we getting into. But we walked into that spot. That night, it was the first time I met Precise. Precise was part of a group called, the Horsemen or something like that, him and his boy from Staten Island. And so they had a group. Yeah. And then as time passed, I said, I am not going to wait around for this thing to take off or churches to like it. And I got this crazy idea at 18, 19 years old that I was going to go rent a school out myself. Mm-hmm. I raised money. I figured out how to rent out this Wingate High School in Brooklyn, New York. I had a pastor who told me, I'm going to help you with sound equipment. He flaked on me at the last minute. And I ended up calling my dad and begging him. I say, Dad, I got this big building. Please give me the church equipment. And he didn't have much. We took these old PV speakers into this big auditorium.
Yep.
Right? So if just hearing the name alone, you already know the equipment.
Right.
Yeah. So we brought that in there and my father came. That was the night I met Corey Redd. So there was a dude that was on the bill. He came in and he said, yo, I got my man from the Bronx. You know, he was stabbed in his heart and he got saved while he was in the hospital. You know, he had this out-of-body experience and God showed him while he was dying and saved, you know, the whole Red story. Yeah. So I said, who this dude? He said, his name is Corey Red. And I said, all right, because I know you, I'm going to let Red get an acapella on stage. Red walked up on that stage and like only Red can with an acapella.
Yep, infamous Red acapellas.
He leveled the place. You know what I'm saying? That night I met Red. The beauty was my dad sat in the back and he watched the conglomerate of he watched all of the MCs that were coming up in New York at mm-hmm. the time. And he was blown away.
And what year was that, bro? If your dad passed in 97, you said, right?
My dad passed in 97.
That was before that.
Yeah, this had to be like 95, 94, wow. Around then, right?
Yeah.
So he said what happened to him was the Lord shifted him and he could care less about what the church thought about the ministry. And so he came back and on Sunday evenings, he stopped the Sunday evening services from being indoors and he took it on the outside. And he said, he started saying, son, rap, rap, rap. And he had me rapping on the sidewalk. And then eventually my father passed away in 97. And when he passed away, my world took a different turn because that was tough,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And but by that time, me, Red, Precise, all of us, we used to be in one group called the World Conquerors. People didn't even know that. It was a big conglomerate of us. Yeah, we used to all be one big group. One big group. We used to travel the city and just do ministry from projects to parks to wherever. And we would roll up and do ministry. At the same time, in Philly, the movement was rising, cross movement.
Yep.
They got signed to Matthew when Matthew had that record label.
Baby.
Right.
House.
Exactly. And in New York, they did Mark of the East.
Yep.
Now, I was never in any of that because at that time when my father passed, I went on to really go through a lot of struggles with my what I believed about God, questioning so much, not so much if God existed, but if he is, if he does exist, and if he's a good God, why take my father at 47 years old?
Yeah.
Death always has a way of rocking every believer to the core, you know, especially when it is close to home like that, you know, and you're talking about a relationship that for most of my teenage years, me and my dad didn't see eye to eye. And when we finally did, he went home. So I was blown away. And so my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, she got pregnant for me. I was living, you know, out of wedlock. And that's something you don't want to do as the preacher's kid. And, you know, so my life started going down another road. And then eventually the Lord just gripped my heart with the birth of my son, because my wife, who was, so everybody knows her. Sister Sherry is loved in New York now. Everybody knows Sister Sherry. Yep. Sister Sherry at the time looked me in the face and said, I wasn't raised in church and I don't know as much as you do, but I'm not going to abort this child. And if for some reason you're trying to hide what happened, you can try to do that on your own. And I'm just going to trust God that he's going to take care of me and his baby. Mm-hmm. I felt like I sunk to the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in the car and a Fred Hammond song, Every Step of a Righteous Man is Ordered by God, came on, and the Lord begun to deal with me. He said, your name is Richie Righteous, and you don't want to do what is right. Yeah. I went back and dropped to my wife's feet. I apologized, and I told her, I said, please, let's get married and let's trust God together. And brother, let me tell you, if you follow my Instagram, you will see that same son that who was almost aborted last week. Enemy don't want me to say this part.
Say
the enemy
it,
don't want
say
to
it.
Say this part.
Say it.
But if you follow me on Instagram, you will see that last week, me and my son, we ministered at CCC in Brooklyn together on stage.
Oh, wow.
And even today, he is headed to Connecticut to do something that I wanted to do when I was his age. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to share too much about that because it's something that he's keeping quiet until
all right,
it's birthday.
All right.
So just seeing God's hands raise that kid up and to be able to share the stage and minister with him. He's the drummer in my church today. Nope. That's sidebar.
Super talented.
But talented young dude. But then when we got married, I started making my way back into hip hop. I released a song called Flip the Channel
that was one of my favorite Richie Righteous joints, man. That was on the That was on the Elements of Life CD, bro. That's
exactly,
why I first began to hear about
exactly.
you, man. That was a dope track.
Yes. Yeah, man. And that was the one that kind of did it. Central South Distribution from Tennessee took the record. They distributed that censorship album everywhere. Me and Red and them, we did the 95 South tour where we made all our way down to Miami. And then from there, I hooked up with brothers like Canton Jones. We toured a little bit. Then I found myself going to London to do the GL Live tour that they were doing with like Truth and Lecrae and all them guys. Mm-hmm. I did GL Live in, I did Nottingham, Birmingham, and it was Molly Music and me. We toured there together. So I toured with Molly. I remember the first time I met Lecrae. Him and Trip Lee, they came to an event we were doing in the Bronx, and Lecrae came up to me, dapped me, said, yo, man, I just saw you and Red in Tennessee, because we had did, I forgot the award show they used to have, but they used to, some award show we went out there and we ended up being on stage together, and the sound system went out, and I had to stand on stage and go a cappella with Red.
With Red.
And you know, Red is giving these phenomenal theological end times and 3 million years from now, what the world gonna be like, and everybody's mind is blown, and I have to go, and I held my own against the great Corey Red, you know what I'm saying? And and I didn't even know Lecrae was in the audience that night. And so when he saw me in the Bronx, he told me that, and then couple years later, Lecrae became the phenomenal artist that he was, man. So I had a great run in the beginning, man. And to God be the glory, Even now, New York City loves me. The music, I did an event called Still Rich last year that people are asking me to turn it into a festival that once we announced we were doing the concert, within a matter of time, every ticket sold out, show was packed, people loved it. They came and they sang all the songs that they were practically grew up on in their youth group, took them back and started releasing some new music again, working with my son, working with a lot of new energy, and people are just showing love, man. So it's a great space to be in at this point.
That's dope, man. So you're still, you're pastoring, but you still are using that tool of music.
Absolutely.
And you did the Kingdom Choice Awards, and now, yes, like, you're rocking regularly with a band.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely. So, you know, well, you know, the thing about me is I'm originally from the Caribbean, so I got a conglomerate of music there. I was raised in the church, so I understand worship, I understand hip-hop, I'm in New York. And so for me, I just felt like just the genre of just rapping alone was not all I did. So we got together with the band and we started taking the music to another level. So anybody, you know, if a great video, just go check out the Last Kingdom Choice Awards on their website and check out the closing performance. You know, they had asked me this year as a New York pioneer, they said, come back and close the show. And bro, I brought the squad in there, and I ain't gonna lie, Tommy, I was so focused that night. Cause as an artist, you know, you still wanna do your thing.
Yeah.
And so they had all the veterans, they had Amber, they had Truth, they had Biz, they had everybody that was there. And I was like, this is my whole
time.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, you know, and even though those guys known me for years and stuff, you know, it was still like, okay, I'm going to hold it down for the old school, but I'm going to show y'all, you know, that I am transcending and trying to go into a different direction. So it was good, man. It did a lot of good for me in this city, for sure.
That's dope, man. That's dope. I know you've been doing some youth conventions and
The Assemblies of God called me to do their youth convention this past year. So I was the main artist for that. Like I said, the big churches like the CCC, Pastor A.R. Bernard, who runs there, they still call. And it just, to be honest, it's just a rejuvenation of the music ministry. But what's dope, what pastors like, and now that I'm in this seat, I can understand, they love that you're kind of like a double-edged sword. You can do this music, but you can also at the drop of a dime stop and preach a 20-minute word. And so to most people, you know, conventions and these places, they're like, we don't got to bring a lot of people. We can just bring this one guy,
and
he'll get
one.
All of it done.
The two for one guy.
Well, I mean, it's the same whenever you come to New York, right? We get the spoken word, we get the music, we get the preaching, we even get the fashion, we even get the entrepreneur, we get the leadership. So with you, we get it all when we bring you. It's like, okay, we can do leadership on the Friday. We can do training on a Saturday. We can do a concert on this night. And we can do just a good old-fashioned church service Sunday morning. So to me,
yeah,
it's like...
Right. Rich used me like in all those capacities when I came.
Every one of them.
I always love coming up to be with the Church City fam. And I have a lot of great memories. And also just seeing a lot of people in New York when I end up coming up there. Several different people come. My uncle always comes to hang out with us.
Yes. Uncle's a cool dude, man.
Yeah, man. So I'm excited, man, that we're coming to Queens. Unfortunately, we're not coming to your church to do it, but we are going to be at your church that Sunday morning. And so April 22nd, we're going to be in New York City to do our very first Flavor Fest Summit. We're going to have some general sessions. We're going to have five breakout workshop tracks. We expanded it now, Rich. We're adding like a church leadership track. Urban Youth Workers is doing a youth ministry track. We're doing one for entrepreneurs. We're doing one for church planters. And we're doing one for artists. And so if you're an artist and you're watching this and you're in a New York City area, like the OG, the legend, the pioneer right here, Rich is going to be doing a workshop. Also then in the other session, there's two breakout sessions. Marcus Hall from Kingdom Choice Awards is going to be doing the other one for artists as well. But it's going to be so much good stuff. So if you go to flavorfest.org and click on Queens, You'll see the five cities on there, and Queens is there. April 22nd, it's our first stop. We're bringing a squad up from Tampa. Our worship team is coming. Not the entire worship team, but a chunk of them is coming. So we're going to be leading worship at the general sessions. And then we'll be Sunday morning. We'll be at Church City with Pastor Rich and the whole fam there. So it's, and Pastor Darnell is excited, man. He's a big fan. He was just on here typing in the chat. What's up, Richie? So
yeah. Darnell is my guy, and we're excited for the conference. And so I just want to encourage New York, if you're out there, once again, go. It is something that I believe your youth ministry, if you got a youth leader, send them. They will benefit from. I believe that if you are a pastor, you will benefit from some of the information that is there. If you're an entrepreneur, Pastor Tommy and his team and the people that he will bring are guaranteed people that are entrepreneurs. They're not just men of God, but they are great stewards over businesses and can show you how simple things you can do to tweak and grow your business. And then if you just love music, man, and just love the vibe, there's going to be a whole concert for you to encourage you. So bring your youth group, bring your leaders, bring everybody. I want to encourage you to go to the website and support this. It's something for the kingdom. And then the very next day, Pastor Tommy will be at Church City. He'll be ministering in the word, and we'll get to hear from Darnell and the Remix, who's got an album out, and I believe they'll probably be doing some original music and probably taking us in whatever. Yeah. Put it this way, Sunday morning, we're going to do what we do in the opening. We're going to worship, and then we just going to hand it over to Crossover. So it's going to be a Church City Crossover morning that Sunday morning, and we just going to fellowship and have a great time.
That whole weekend is going to be super dope. So, awesome, man. Well, thanks for jumping on today, Rich. If you could, like, just remind everybody where they can find you, and then maybe what you got coming out next, music-wise.
So music-wise, I've got a couple things coming out in the spring. As you know, the world has changed. The best way to find out everything that I'm doing, follow me on Instagram, at Richie Righteous, YouTube, at Richie Righteous, Facebook, at Richie Righteous, which I finally got my Facebook page back, Pastor Tommy. At Richie Righteous. And the church's website, churchcityusa.com. All our sermons, all our information is on there. And once you plug into any of those networks, you'll see all the music that we got coming out. I've got a couple of songs getting ready to drop in spring. Some joints that I know you'll love. So please stay tuned to that. And all the upcoming concerts and stuff we've got coming down the line. And all that's happening in the Church City, we've got Kingdom Time. Marcus Hall is bringing the truth to Church City on the 11th of March, I believe it is.
Okay.
So Truth, formerly known as Truth now, Emmanuel. Be at Church City. And then we're going to have Pastor Tommy will be the next thing that is going to happen in April. And then we're looking to do this revive thing in the month of May, which will bring a conglomerate of artists together. And then we're doing a big street event, like Flavor, like how Rap Fest used to do it. We're blocking down the streets and doing that in the summertime. And it's a lot going on. It's a lot. Just follow us and you'll find out.
Dope. Man, I'm excited to come up and see you, Rich. Hang out in the Big Apple. So, man, if you could pray for us, man, before we jump off today, bro. Just pray for all the leaders that are watching this, and pray a blessing on them, bro.
Absolutely. Father God, I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity that I had this past hour here. And I know, Father, that you will use this podcast to reach whoever needs to hear what we discussed today. I thank you for Pastor Tommy. I thank you for Crossover. I thank you for Flavor Fest. I thank you for Pastor Darnell. I thank you for all the other pastors and leaders at Crossover, all the people that work so diligently. The world has no idea how hard this church works to impact urban America and just urban culture across the world. And I give you praise for them. Give them strength. Open doors for them. Everything that they put their hands to do, God, Lord, guide them. And I thank you for all the people that are watching, all the pastors that are watching, all the young people that might be watching, all the artists, all the entertainers that might be locking in, that are in Christianity, that are are going to hear this, Father. Just I ask God that you would guide them. I ask, Father, that you would grip their hearts. Mm-hmm. I ask that they would be intentional with staying close to you, because we need in these times more than ever for the Church of Jesus Christ to become louder than ever. So I ask, God, that you would use every vessel that you have called in a special way, where whatever they need, provide. Whatever, God, they might be seeking you for, I know that you're able to guide them. Mm-hmm. This I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless Flavor Fest and all the cities, especially the Queens one, God.
Yes.
We just ask, God, that you would be upon it and send the people that they may come and grow. Let it have a major impact in this city. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's my brother.
Righteous. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, guys, subscribe, like this. Super grateful that Rich was on here today. Come see us April 22nd at Flavor Fest Summit, New York City, flavorfest.com, and at Church City on Sunday, April 23rd. We love y'all. We'll be back on the next episode next Friday. Let's go.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.